Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Let's join our popular Latin lover, Carmelite Father Reginald Foster, for a Lenten conversation on one of his favourite subjects, Leo the Great. Father Foster, you're always talking to me about the sermons of Pope Leo the First, Pope Leo the Great, during Lent. What was special about those sermons?
There are 11. Of course, every year he did this. Every year he had one, and so forth and so on about Lent. And
do they correspond to the actual Sundays in Lent? Or
No. Well, no. It would be like the beginning of Lent. You know, that would like the theme of Lent. Of course, you know, the idea of atonement for sin. And
how do you say all these things in Latin, atonement for sin?
Peccatorum nescio reparatio. That's all right.
And the pillars of our faith.
And so, yeah, certainly.
Like the Pope went strong on almsgiving this year, no? How do you say almsgiving?
Well, the fact is that is very strong in Leo, 1600 years ago, because he's extremely modern, you know, where he says, you know, instead of crucifying yourself, you know, I'm giving up candy, I'm giving up pizzas for Lent. He said, fine, if you want to do that, then you take what you're going to save by these penances, and you give these things to the poor and the needy.
How do you say all that in Latin?
Well, a genus et pauperibus tradenda sunt, quae colligimus ex sacrificius nostris. You can say anything.
You didn't talk about the pizzas and chocolate.
No, not right now, no, but...
But you have a word for pizza and...
Well, certainly.
And chocolate.
Well, so. Certainly we have all that stuff.
And drink. How do you say it? Give up pizza, chocolate,
yes, and drink. Ergo repudiate, teobroma is chocolate, and pizzas are lagana. Hmm. Lagunum. Horace talks about a lagunum, and it was like a cake made with cheese and oil. Comes very close to our pizza.
Hmm. And almsgiving, how do you say almsgiving?
It's elemosina. Your Greek word, which is in every language now.
So basically, we talked about fasting, we talked about almsgiving and prayer. How'd you say prayer?
Did he
tell you to pray, Leo the Great?
Oh, yeah, well, there's no problem there.
How'd you say?
To pray for yourself and for others, and this whole spiritual exercise is supposed to be like a spiritual training ground.
He says in his first reflection on Lent, according to what I found on internet, Chapter 5 talks about abstinence, not only from food, but from other evil desires, especially from wrath, which you say is wrath. Is that right?
Wrath, yes. Ira.
Ira, that's easy. Is required.
No, he says that we don't have to. Don't worry about abstaining from meat and stuff, but abstain from bad things, from bad habits. No, he's very, very strong and very, very clear.
He says, let the swellings of pride subside. Let wrath or wrath yield to reason. How do you say that?
That's what he says. A tumor ire nescio decrescat et concedat. What did he say for the? I forget the rest of the sentence there. Let it give into. He says it much better, but anyway.
Let the swellings of pride subside. Let wrath or wrath yield to reason. Let the darts of ill-treatment be shattered, and the chidings of the tongue be bridled. Let thoughts of revenge fall through, and injuries be given over to oblivion. Let the swellings of pride subside.
Yeah, tumor superbiae residat.
Let
ira...
wrath...
Ratione cedat.
Yield to reason. Let the darts of ill-treatment be shattered.
Injuriarum. Frangantur.
And the chidings
of the... Reprehensiones of the...
Tongue be bridled.
Reprehensiones lingue. Frenentur. It's really great.
Let thoughts of revenge fall through and injuries be given over to oblivion.
Yeah, decedant cogitationes ulsiones et injurie oblivioni tradantur. That's easy. He says it in a much nicer way, but anyway.
Well, he says, let every plant which the Heavenly Father hath not planted be removed by the roots.
Mm.
That's a nice image.
Yeah, certainly. Radici tus omnis planta, quam pater celestis non, we're going to say, servit, eradicetur.
For then only are the seeds of virtue well nourished in us.
The seeds of virtue, virtutis semina, in nobis nutriuntur.
And every
germen, cum omne extrarium germen,
uprooted
evelitur de frumenti sagite.
Yeah. That's wheat. Every foreign... germ uprooted from the field of wheat. But no, for our listeners, we didn't say it in English.
Oh, that's great. No, it's great, really. Ooh.
And he also says further down, if you read, and we can't read it all. I mean, forgive us our debts. Says,
yeah, we have in the Our Father there one.
But who read these things? I mean, did he speak them?
For sure.
I mean, were they sermons or what?
Well, certainly. Well, they called tractatus, tracts. But I mean, they certainly, I warn the students too, they certainly weren't written to be read, but they were given to be heard. And that's why we insist on, in school, on the music of his sentences. There's a musical...
rhythm.
Oh, it's out of this world. And it's really to pronounce this out loud. I have the students do that. Pronounce these things out loud. Close your eyes and pronounce them out loud. It's really another experience.
Well, maybe you should start your own radio station.
Now, I have these things on tape, you know. I told you that. Mm. All of his sermons are on tape on the internet.
Who did you do them for?
Oh, for one of the students. I think there are 96 sermons. We filled about 15 tapes, the old system. And then they transferred this onto CDs.
And do you manage to capture the musical sound?
Well, I try to. Certainly the inflection of your voice, there's a progression there. It's really very, very beautiful. It's almost like reading, I would say, decent poetry, Shakespeare or some classical poet. There's a rhythm there and a beauty.
Leo the Great always spoke about religious matters. These are sermons for Lent, so obviously they're religious. But did he actually have ordinary poetry nature?
No.
Nothing is frivolous.
We don't have. Maybe he on the side.
Is there a particular sermon that you like that you'd like to speak to us about?
Oh, I don't know why. His sermons on Christmas are the end of the world, really.
No, we're talking about Easter now.
I understand, but you asked me which ones.
We'll get to those at Christmas.
Well, yeah, I understand. When he gets on the incarnation and God becoming man and one of us and sharing and everything we have and it's just too much.
But the sermon I've been reading from on abstinence was number 5. Number 6 leads to a happy participation in Easter. So basically everything he wrote was to geared towards Easter. No?
Oh, yeah, he says that for the first sentence. A preparation time for Easter and so forth. The greatest mystery, of course, is the Easter mystery and so forth.
In this paragraph, he says, "Let us not pass over the groans of the poor with deaf ear, but with prompt kindness bestow our mercy on the needy, that we may deserve to find mercy in the judgment." How does one say, "Let us not pass over the groans of the poor with deaf ear"?
Yeah, sordis auribus ne praeteriamus, gemitus pauperum.
But with prompt kindness bestow our mercy on the needy.
Alacri beninitate. Bestow what?
Our mercy.
Misericordiam tribuamus.
On the needy.
Bene, e gentibus.
That we may deserve to find mercy in thy judgment.
Misericordiam consequi valeamus in judicio. Yeah, those are glorious things, really. I mean, they're immortal. Now they want me during Lent now. Every day for about 5 minutes, I'm supposed to read from Leo. And everyone just moans and groans. It's so glorious. You say, look at how he says it. It's how he says this. And then we're supposed to be so modern and we have all the best ideas. We have nothing, friends. Really, in comparison to these great men.
Why do you think that is? Do you think because it was a different world they belonged to?
Well, for one, of course, there's a natural talent there. Not all popes wrote or spoke like Leo did. They just didn't. They just didn't. It's like not everyone wrote music like Mozart.
You're a sort of talent scout. How do you say that with your students? So how would you say talent scout?
Okay. Well, you'd say, virtutum explorator.
Someone talent scouted you years ago. How long ago was that?
It was my teacher.
That was Cardinal Bacci, no?
Well, no. It was actually his successor, Carl Egger, who died about 3 years ago. So I had him in class. There were three of us in class, and then the Pope's secretary got sick. And Benelli and Paul VI said we
Cardinal
need...
Cardinal Benelli.
Well, he was just an archbishop then. Anyway, as a substitute upstairs, and they said, we need someone to do this work. And one of my teachers said, I think I know the man you're looking for. And that was that.
Has your Latin improved over the years, or has
it got
worse?
Oh, yeah, you get, even like Cicero, the older you get, the more mellow you get. I mean, not youthful, you know, sparklings and, you know, a big show and stuff like that, which I like to do. Well, I have my own style. But the older you get, the more mellow you get. And it's interesting to see that Cicero's last orations are real kind of nice guy of a, not 23. There's a difference.
So mellow, Father Foster, how do you say mellow?
Mellow. Mitesco, mitescere. Mitescere, it's a me to it. Fosterius, me to it. Foster, mellowed. Well, we all do, I hope.
And heartfelt thanks, as always, to our popular Latin lover, Carmelite Father Reginald Foster, who has spent most of his life working as the Pope's own Latinist. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.